All right, Coastsiders, it's Friday, April 22nd, 2022. That's a lot of twos. You know what? Take only poop bags and leave only tiny carbon footprints, Libby, because it's time for some coastal witness.
Good morning.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
Libby is back from her tour of the continent, or not the continent.
Good to be back. Now, I was over in the U.K.
The U.K., okay.
Yes.
The entire U.K. or just Scotia?
Spent some time in London and then went up to Scotland and then headed to Inverness.
Okay, did you
or
see?
Or Loch Ness.
Did you see Nessie?
You say.
Is it real?
Yes, Nessie is alive and well.
Okay.
And I have a Christmas ornament to prove it.
Okay, and we'll expect a call then in from Nessie or
yes.
Bigfoot.
Yes.
Either one. We'll take either. Okay, well, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. And we're fully staffed this morning with myself, Ruben Truthmaker, Libby Streetwise, and a phalanx of interns. Nod to you over in the glass booth, everybody, okay? And if you missed the show this morning, which I don't know why you would, but if you did, you can download podcasts of our past shows by going to cajunradio.com, click the show podcast tab. But we are here every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 100.9 FM and rockin' 1710 a.m. and streaming live on the internet to anywhere with an internet connection at khmbradio.com. Okay, we got a big full show because we didn't have a show last week. Right?
I was going to say, you didn't have one last week, and I wasn't able to listen when Julie had joined you as a guest host, but I heard that it was a fantastic show.
It's always a good show with Julie.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the movie night that she had done with her two movies at the Oddfellows and the screening that she did. That was fantastic, and we had a couple of callers, which was great.
Terrific.
But we missed you, and I think that the Coastside missed not having its own live call-in talk radio show last Friday. But we're back.
We've
got a full show, and here's the topics for today, which I know people are surprised that we're actually talking about the topics in the first 5 minutes, but what the heck?
Let's
turn over
it.
A new leaf. Sure. All right. Water crisis. Yes, it rained this week, but water crisis, you might as well just have that tattooed on your bicep because it's here to stay forever if you live west of the Rockies. The other topics we have today, coyotes in our midst. I've developed a relationship with a local coyote.
Have you?
Yes, and I really enjoy it, so we'll be talking about that. And we hope to have today in the studio a Shooting the Breeze live studio interview with Commodore Sanjay Israne of the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club, who we hope will be here to talk to us about the measures that they are employing to deal with unwanted pinnipeds on their working dock.
You're a member of the. You had to throw that out there, didn't
you? I love saying pinnipeds.
I know you do.
I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds official. So I'm going with that. We're going to get some email. Pinnipeds is actually, you know, Amish.
It's a seal, people.
It's a seal?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on. Alex Trebek would appreciate the pinniped.
Speaking of which, thank you for that great lead-in. Did you see last night?
I did.
The Midcoast getting represented on Jeopardy last night. Former Monteran Alex Lemberg was a contestant on last night's episode of Jeopardy. Alex grew up in Monterra. His parents still live there. He's a 2006 alum of Half Moon Bay High School. He also graduated from Cal and is a practicing attorney now, but we won't hold that against him. He was introduced as an attorney and activist from San Francisco. And during his intro story, you know, they always say, tell us a little bit about his story. He told a story of doing an act in a San Francisco nightclub as a 7-foot-tall drag queen with his dad, who was a professional knife thrower. So
that is brilliant.
Right?
That was. I was hoping for a little bit of a shout-out to the coast, though.
I was, too, but
a little disappointed, but his story made up for it.
Yes,
because,
totally.
You know, that show needs a little flair.
And that's a nice image.
It is. It's a great image.
You're dressed up in drag in a San Francisco nightclub with your dad who's throwing knives at you. Yes, that is pretty awesome. Okay, and seemed like he got a little bit of help there. For one of his answers, the question that he gave, you know, I have to give was Palo Alto.
I saw that.
I mean, come on.
An entire category of California.
Yeah, I mean, okay, we'll take it. He was doing great. He was up. He was in like the mid-teens, like $12,000, $13,000. Unfortunately, he was going up against a defending champ who has now won 13 straight episodes and over $250,000. She was good, and he went into the Final Jeopardy down $7,500 after he got a daily double question wrong and lost $5,000
on that. That was a tough final question, too.
I got it wrong.
I did, too.
I thought it was Cleopatra. It was films of the 50s. He bet $8,000, lost it all, end up finishing third of the three. But
I wouldn't even call. So would you really call Sleeping Beauty a film?
Yeah, I mean, it was Disney film.
I would call it an animated.
Disney, I mean, it's a classic film.
Back then, would you really call it a film?
Yes, I would.
Back then.
I don't know if I would call Disney movies today films. But I did the epic, you know, Fantasia and those kinds of things. Those were films.
You wouldn't categorize them as animated films, animated movies. I mean, I think it was a trick question to be. I really did.
They're not going to just hand it to you. I mean,
I don't know. Right. I didn't like it.
So, anyways, Midcoast getting represented on Jeopardy. While we have a chance to talk about the Midcoast and representing, let's talk about our sponsor, Half Moon Bay Brewing Company.
Okay.
It's the weekend, and that is the perfect time to venture out to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. You can always get takeout as well, but they've got the great location there on Capistrano. They got the dog-friendly patio. One thing I like is they're a brewery, so you can see their tanks where they actually make their brew. And so that's kind of, I like the industrial aspect of the tanks that they have on site. And can't beat, you know, if you like steak, if you like seafood, if you like chowder, if you like calamari, and if you like aioli, they have it
all. I have a great marketing expansion idea for them. Having spent the last number of weeks over in the UK, they desperately need the aioli, the burgers, and the beer they're good with over there.
I think they got that covered.
That's not a problem. But the calamari, burgers, steaks, missing the mark.
Yeah.
So
over there,
So the brewery could capitalize on all of that because
now here's something that the brewery could introduce. I don't know if you were brave enough to try this when you were over in Scotland.
Haggis.
It is delish.
Is it?
It's amazing. So I pictured haggis, right? It's sheep's intestines, sheep organs inside of like an intestine, you know, tied up and cooked. And it sounds absolutely disgusting, right? Because I'm imagining a gloppy, lumpy, you know, gross flesh tube of.
Yes.
No, it is crispy, spicy. It's basically like meat hash browns.
They've made it taste as best as it possibly could. I mean, anything fried, you can pretty much get through. And it does. It is has a crispy fried.
Yes. And a little spice. So we had.
But they could use the brewery's aioli over there.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean.
Haggis and the aioli, I think I could do that.
British cuisine, I don't think, is like at the top level with like Italian and French and, you know.
You know how you usually gain weight from vacations?
Yeah.
I lost 4 pounds.
Yes. When I've traveled through Scotland in, you know, multiple weeks at a time, after like the second day, it's like I can't look at another plate of fish and chips.
Yeah.
You know, like, and what else do you have?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing. Okay. So yeah, it's tough eating over there.
Beautiful sights. Just the food.
Yes. Absolutely.
Didn't quite cut it.
So. But if you're looking for beautiful food here, you don't have to worry about
it.
And they don't have haggis on the menu yet, but they've got all the good stuff that you love. Great coastal fare and a wonderful setting. And thank you for the sponsorship, not only of our show, but of the coast side itself. Lots of scholarships and donations that Half Moon Bay Brewing
Company
makes.
Do they have any speakers this week
Michelle Dragony, the Coastal Butterfly, is working on, I think she's working on developing a Brews and Views presentation.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So we will definitely
be
talking
about
that. Absolutely.
Great.
I mean, yeah, what better person could you have doing that? Okay, then Michelle Dragony of Coastside Buzz. All right, let's do our air quality report real quick. We get this information from purpleair.com. 0 to 50, incredible. 51 to 100, very good. Over 100, not so good. And guess what, folks? Go out and just fill up your scuba tanks and breathe deeply because it's all good today. 5 in El Granada.
Fantastic.
12 in Half Moon Bay, and it gets better from there. 7 in Redwood City. 2 in Santa Cruz.
Wow.
And just for a sampling a couple of places out of the area, today in Stinson Beach, the air quality is 0.
Fantastic. 0.
And so if you're going to Stinson Beach today, breathe deeply.
Nice.
And over in Danville in the East Bay, it's 8. So...
Well, that is good news because I wasn't sure what you were going to come up with because of the unfortunate fires out in Arizona that are making their way up to possibly even Denver. Like the winds The winds are supposed to be terrible today. Absolutely terrible all the way up to Denver.
Yeah.
So they are very concerned about the slightest spark of anything. But in Arizona, by Flagstaff, they're in a pretty bad situation there.
Yep. Mrs. Truthmaker and I used to live in Flagstaff for several years, and fire is definitely a way of life there, but it's gotten worse over the years.
Yeah.
It's definitely gotten worse. These fires are outside of town in the San Francisco Peaks, but there's people that live up there, and so they are affected. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right. Speaking of fires and global climate change, do you know what today is?
Yes, I do. Do you want? Are you gonna?
Well, I guess. Oh, I hope we're on the same.
Yeah.
Today is Earth Day.
Earth Day.
Is this even a thing anymore? I mean,
It almost seems like every day needs to be Earth Day.
Yeah, but every day needs to be, but no day is, including Earth Day. Do you have any big plans for Earth Day? Do you know of anything going on? Is there some big parade?
My son's school has a number of things going on, actually, today for Earth Day. And then they are also doing beach cleanup tomorrow.
Okay.
So that is good.
That's something. No, it just seems like Earth Day has just... It doesn't mean anything anymore. But bonus for the first caller who can tell us when, why, and how Earth Day got its start. Okay, if you can come up with that, that maybe will give you a little maybe impetus to give Earth Day more attention. It started for a reason, and that reason still exists now more than ever. What are my big Earth Day plans, you ask? Oh, well, I am driving...
What are they?
Well, thank you for asking. I will tell you. I am driving my gigantic diesel-spewing van many miles to a short-term rental in a quaint coastal community where I'm going to proceed to wander through the house, turning on lights, eating single-serving prepackaged foods, and improperly throwing my recyclables in the garbage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That isn't a slap in the face to Earth Day.
Yeah. So take that, Earth Day.
Well, you know, I was thinking, kind of a misstep on our part, looking forward to our conversation today with the Commodore, but... Remember, a few years ago, I think we had Shel Cleave in here on Earth Day, I think.
Yes.
So if anyone from Sea Hugger would like to call in and tell us maybe a few ways that we could, even just as families, you know, help out today and the weekend and even just moving forward.
This is what I'm talking about. Today is Earth Day. I don't know of anything planned. I haven't seen anything other than some small events at Secret. There's no big thing. There's no big gathering on the beach. There's no big protest against all of the electric vehicles and everything that are causing, you know, creating a need for more and more power. The power doesn't come from nowhere. It does. And when we talk about water crisis, you will hear that the power situation is more dire than ever. But yet, everything's got to be powered now. Your mattress has to be powered. Your bicycle has to be powered. Everything has to have a power source when it doesn't need it. And on the other hand, nobody even acknowledges Earth Day anymore. So if that's where people are, then just enjoy it while it lasts because it's not going to last much longer. That's right. Okay. We have a huge, full house studio audience today. Every chair in the room is filled. I can see that the elevated viewing gallery is filled to capacity. Yep.
Standing room only up there, actually.
Yes, and it hasn't been this crowded since we had Zoe Chait, Champion Surfer, and her entourage in the studio for our live interview with her on January 7th. So that's exciting that we've got a full house today. Okay, we talked about Alex Lemberg, Montero resident on Jeopardy. That's always exciting. Not the first time we've had a Jeopardy contestant from the Coast side, but it was last night, so it was pretty cool. And I actually watched it, and it was, it was too bad that he was doing great. He just got a couple of questions
wrong.
Woman that is the champion looks pretty tough. So, all right. This just in.
Yes.
This just in. Horse poop is the people's choice. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, a recent threat. Oh, and we've got a phone call. Let me get. It's either Shell Cleave or Michelle Dragony. Who are we talking with this morning? This is Ruben and Livy.
Penny Packer.
Oh, that was going to be my third guess, of course.
Hello,
Penny Packer.
Penny.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Well, I'm a little crusty about Earth Day, but other than that,
I feel like you're always crusty.
Well,
you took my line, Penny.
Wait a minute now. Come on. All right. What's on your mind, Penny Packard?
Well, again, you can't dangle a trivia question out there.
Let's hear. Remind myself. All right. When, why, and how did Earth Day get its start?
Well, I think it was from an oil spill in the Santa Barbara area.
Yes.
I think it was 1969.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct. April.
And then it was made by a senator in Wisconsin, in my area here, who created the first Earth Day.
All right.
Wow,
very
well
nice.
Done, Penny.
Okay, that's right. An oil spill in the Santa Barbara Channel in 1969. Precipitated some big protests at the University of California, Santa Barbara and the Santa Barbara area, and that eventually morphed into a more formal Earth Day. But the first one was April 22nd, 1969 in Santa Barbara. Penny Packer, the queen of trivia, always with the answers for us. Even though you're not an actual resident of the Coast Side, you are absolutely a honorary Coast Sider for sure.
Well, I do visit frequently.
You do. That's right. In fact, I think we've even hooked up on some of your visits and gone to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company, our great sponsor. So next time you're in town, drop us a line and we'll go out and have a beer.
A beer.
And
1969,
weren't you there in Santa Barbara?
That's a good one. That's a good one, Penny Packer. I was alive then. All right. Well, we don't need to focus on that, but anything else on your mind?
Nope, just glad to hear you guys. I missed you guys last week.
Thanks for
the call, Penny Packer. Always great to have you on the show. It's not a season or a show unless we get a Penny Packer call.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right.
You too.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. Okay. So before we get to horse poop, I just want to remind folks that we have Commodore Sanjay Israne of the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club in the house right now for
Fantastic.
A live interview later in the show. We're going to hear if we can even get to the show, because we are just inundated with phone calls right now, which is what we love to do. We're a live show. This is Ruben and Livy live. Who are we speaking with this morning?
This is Bruce Sturdog calling from San Francisco, California.
Hello,
excellent.
Bruce.
All right, Bruce, what is on your mind this morning, Bruce?
Well, I think, first of all, I'd like to say I think Earth Day is just one of another long line of holidays that have been co-opted by the man, and that Earth Day has not been a true environmental holiday for the last 15 years once it started getting corporate sponsors.
I'm with you on that, absolutely. Yeah. It kind of seems like how could Earth Day have corporate sponsors when the corporations are really part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Earth Day brought to you by Sunoco Oil.
Totally.
My second point is, I think what the Coast Side needs is just some more development to increase your tax base and a small nuclear power plant. I think that would take care of a lot of the issues that are affecting your domicile.
Bruce, I'm with you there, because if we had the small nuclear power plant, then we could revitalize the fishing industry with those three-eyed Simpsons fish, right?
From
the
exactly.
Yes.
I think you guys need a Montgomery Burns type, you know, golden angel to come in and make a big development. You know, just south of El Granada, there's some. You know, just artichoke fields that are prime real estate for
a waste of land,
small nuke.
Right?
Oh, well, exactly,
Bruce. You know, exactly. we have an opening for District 3 supervisor here in San Mateo County. You sound like the exact person for the job
that could come
in here and turn this county around.
I got other ideas, but they might not be appropriate for a family radio show like this.
Okay, well,
thank you for that.
I love your suggestions and your call, Bruce. Please call us again. That was a great call.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Peace out.
Oh, you too.
That was
all right.
Awesome.
That's exactly what I was thinking. He took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah,
that was perfect. Anyways, the words that were coming out of my mouth at the moment where we have Commodore is Ronnie from the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club, who's going to talk about measures that they're taking to deal with pinniped. Penny Packer was on, and then I said pinniped.
Pinniped. For us normal people out there.
Trespassing. Pinniped trespassing on the working dock at the Yacht Club. Okay, so we'll see about that. All right, but getting so...
Back to the horse food. What were you trying to say about this?
It's apparently the people's choice. There's a recent thread on Nextdoor about horse poop and its benefits to trail users. I mean, we got to get a mop and clean up pieces of my head that have exploded all over the room, because a person posting on Nextdoor had the audacity to ask a question I'm sure that many people have asked before, which is, why horse riders do not have a responsibility to pick up after their animals when they poop all over the trail, okay? And so instead... I mean, we miss a week, this is what happens. Okay, that's fine.
Quite the morning.
Nobody wants to hear about horse poop. Anyways, all right. This is Ruben and Libby. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
Oh, good morning, senor.
Sounds like Rick Barker of Coastside Mountain Bikers.
You are correct again. What a brilliant man. Hey, just want to remind people, Coastside Mountain Bikers, of course, is always out there riding bikes. But we're doing a trash pickup day tomorrow with a bunch of our members, just so you can feel good about that. But in general, we try to promote people getting outside and riding their bike and being healthy. Definitely saves on the whole earth and energy point that you're picking on today.
Well done, Rick.
Yes, thank you, Rick. Coastside Mountain Bikers, a wonderful local nonprofit organization that helps build trails, also build skills and confidence in young people and people of all ages on bikes in the outdoors. Rick, you said it's a trail cleanup tomorrow?
Just a small group of individuals we're actually working up in Marin with some trail organizations up there, but nothing locally, unfortunately, scheduled this year.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that. Rick, please keep calling in and letting us know, because I know that pump track is going to be hopefully online this year, and we want to hear as that develops.
More news on that front coming soon. Should be breaking ground within a month or so.
Fantastic.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Yep, thank you, Rick.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you guys for all your entertainment.
Okay, no problem. All right,
bye.
Talk to you later. Okay, so a poster had the audacity to ask why horse riders don't have the responsibility to pick up their horse poop. And instead of people answering that, well, for this reason or for that reason,
they launched into her.
It was a unilateral launching of the benefits of horse poop. Especially in comparison to other animal waste. And so an avalanche of pro horse poop on the trail posts. It's not the same as pet waste of cats and dogs. It's good for gardens. It doesn't carry disease. It comes from non-ruminant herbivores. Okay, all of that may be true, but that still doesn't address, like, is it okay to have a huge pile of poop in the middle of the trail, especially on a single-track trail or something where you have to, like, navigate into the off the trail, or you're riding your bike through a fresh pile of horse poop and it splatters all over you and your bike and stuff. Let's agree that nobody is contesting the wholesome, vegan, shade-grown, steel-cut goodness of horse poop. All right, okay, fine. But, and if one had to choose and composting material, yes, you're going to choose horse poop over dog poop. That's a no-brainer. Okay, nobody's arguing that. The question was, is it okay to have a huge pile of poop in the middle of the trail from your animal and just go and leave it? Is it not equally rude and gross for horse poop to be in the middle of the trail as a much smaller pile of dog poop? So for the people that are saying, no, horse poop is fine, it's just, you know, it's just pooped out hay or whatever, it's plants. Okay, let's take this scenario. Would you be okay, horse poop supporters on the trail, if somebody walked through that pile of horse poop in the middle of the trail and then got in your car or walked through your house? All right. While you ponder that, we'll take yet another phone call. I think we're going for a record today. This is Ruben and Livy. Who are we talking with this morning?
This is Diamond Joe Quimby.
Diamond Joe. DJQ.
You know, as a dog owner and dog walker, I feel like I've been demonized if I do not pick up my poop within 3 seconds of that steamy pile hitting the trail.
Yeah. If it's not steaming anymore, you're behind the ball.
Way
you're
too late.
Yeah.
And I feel that the horse people should be held to a similar standard, or that we should abolish the poop picking up standards, kind of like they do in Paris.
Oh, you're talking about full Thunderdome here, like just human, dog, horse, just leave the poop where it lies.
Well, either everybody picks it up or nobody picks it up. It's a all or none kind of concept.
Okay, that's all right. Hey, that would be easy to follow, right? I would understand that, and there would be no like different levels of like horse poop is better than dog poop, and human poop is, you know. Okay, Diamond Joe.
As my father used to say, poop is poop. It does not matter, you know. Once it's out of that aperture, it is just poop.
Wow.
Okay.
I cannot argue with that. And Diamond Joe, I don't know if you heard the earlier caller. You know, we're needing a supervisor for District 3 here. Like you and Bruce with the nuclear power plant idea. I would love to see you two in a debate.
Quite,
you know,
a marriage.
A candidate debate. Yeah. So think about it.
You know, I do have some political background in my history on my resume. I was a small town mayor in the Midwest for several years in the 80s.
Nice.
But scandal after scandal, I don't think I'm a viable candidate for public office anymore due to my past histories.
Well, I guess you just have to run for president then. I mean, no, you couldn't get on your local school board, but president, I mean, like, I think you're eminently qualified then.
Still a possibility.
Yeah, right.
The bar has been permanently lowered.
Is there one still? It's down in the poop. The bar is
exactly.
Lost in the poop down there. Well, Diamond Joe, excellent call. Put us on your speed dial and let's hear from you more often.
Oh, we'll do there, pub.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I think the Commodore is about to.
tie him down. Like, put a hawser on this guy over here, right? Okay, right.
Don't horses have the bag, like the catch bags?
Have you ever seen one in use? I mean, this. Okay, so back to the horse poop thing. Fine. It's not full of chemicals and nasty bacteria and stuff. Nobody's arguing that. But what I'm arguing is there's a big wet pile of it in the middle of the trail. If you have to walk through it and it gets on your shoes, or you have to walk around off the trail to get past it, isn't that as rude as a pile of dog poop left by the side of the trail that everybody's all up in arms about? But I feel like the people that replied on Nextdoor are kind of being disingenuous. If they are just focusing on, it's natural, it's organic, you can compost with it. That is not the question at play here. Is it, should horse riders have some kind of responsibility when their horse stops and unloads a huge pile of poop in the middle of the trail? Shouldn't they at least get off the horse and, you know, kick it off to the side of the trail? That's all. They don't have to bag it. They don't have to carry it away with them because it's natural and organic and it'll decompose. But shouldn't they have responsibility to get it off the trail? That I just
I do think logistically that that's a little difficult.
If the argument is that it's not convenient or practical to dismount the horse to shovel the poop off the trail, then cop to that. Then admit, I don't want to get off the horse. It's too much of a pain in the butt. That's why I'm not doing it. Don't be posting that. It's organic. It's natural. You can compost with it. Therefore, it's fine to just leave a huge steaming pile in the middle of the trail. That argument doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you're definitely fired up about this.
I am.
And I am not an equestrian. I don't know this for sure, but a lot of times I think horses poop like as they're walking. Like you don't even know that it's pooped.
Okay, the first time you're riding your bike and you come around a corner and on a single track trail and there's poop and cross the entire trail, and you ride your bike through it, and it up into your chest and onto your bike and everything, then you kind of ask yourself, like, yeah, why aren't horse people responsible for moving their poop out of the trail? Because this is gross. And I don't care if it's organic poop or, you know, bacteria, chemical-laden dog poop. It's poop, it smells, it's wet, and it's all over me now.
Okay. Also the possibility of hiring a sanitation crew that could actually walk up and down the coastal trail cleaning it up, period. Like, whether it's poop, garbage, or whatever. I mean, I'd love to hire people to do that.
The city is working with Coastside Hope and...
I think that's a great idea.
They have hired folks that live over at the Coastside Inn here and other people that are struggling financially in town to pay them $15 an hour. And a few days a week, they do go and walk the beach and the trail. But I don't know if I see them picking up poop. I mean, like,
that could be part of the job.
I think you're going to have to, like, give them more equipment than just a shovel. I mean, gloves and... Well, anyways. All right. What's our time here? I think I got a little over... Whoa!
I know.
Overboard on the poop. So I've got, like, 15 emails here.
Just a couple. So we can get to the Commodore. We have lots of questions.
We do have lots of questions. I want to give them the full time. So we're going to have... Let's see. No. I'm looking for a positive email here.
No positive emails.
Okay, here's the most recent ones. These came in yesterday and Wednesday. So I'm sorry if you sent an email in the last couple of weeks. Maybe we can get to them in a couple of weeks. We only have an hour. We've got a live guest in the studio today. Can't wait to get to him and hear about the pinniped pads. All right. This is from Lindia Nobles SK9. Our subject line, program guide. Do you have the schedule and topics for your upcoming shows posted somewhere? I never know when or if the show will be on and only seem to find it randomly or not. It's kind of a mystery. Thank you. I enjoy it when I can find it. Well, the show is kind of a mystery to us, too. It kind of develops over the course of the week. But Lindia Nobles SK9, we're here every Friday morning from 9 to 10. Pretty much all year long except for the summer and weeks when we're not here. How about that? Is that clear? That works. Okay.
Clear as mud. There you go.
If we do post the topics for the show the morning of the show, about 7:45 on Nextdoor, we've got, I think, a fan from our local chapter of our fan club posts that for us. And you can listen to, if you miss the live show, you can always listen to a podcast of any one of our 180 shows by going to khmbradio.com and clicking the show podcast tab and then looking for Coastal Windage. Okay, so that's that. One last email, and then we're just going to go right to the Commodore.
Great.
All right. This is from email from listener Friendly Fuel. Subject line, best show ever. All right.
That should be good. Let's hope.
No.
Was there a question mark after?
Best show ever, but I've been duped. Last week.
When we weren't. We didn't have a show.
Yeah. Yes. Last week was your most interesting show ever. You never sounded better or made more sense. Keep up the good work. Where's Livy?
Wow.
Okay. I'm just going to let that one just... slide into the sunset. Speaking of sliding into the sunset, I don't know if you know this. I love maritime history, history of seafaring.
Yes.
Anything that has a boat. I love the romance of the seas, even though I get seasick looking at the ocean. So it's nice that we have Commodore Sanjay Israni of the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club. Good morning, Commodore.
Good morning.
So do we need to use the... is it Commodore Israni?
I would prefer Sanjay.
Sanjay, okay. I mean, but Commodore, just it's fun to say.
Very official. You know?
It's fun to say. All right. Just got to warn you, like, I've got a whole stand-up thing of Commodore jokes, but we'll leave those to the end if there's time, and I haven't already annoyed you enough. So thank you for coming in this morning. Really appreciate it.
I am missing the sailor cap.
That's joke number four here.
Oh, sorry.
I do have anchors on my... on my arms, like Popeye, so...
Oh, nice.
That helps.
That does help, actually.
I have one, too. It's called My Child. Hey-o!
Whoa!
All right, okay. All right, so... all right, let's get right to the meat of the matter. So, you've got a working dock at the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club in Pillar Point Harbor, and as is common on the coast side here in California, you have been... have some visitors that are... it's not that you don't like them, but they're unwanted on your working dock. This would be pinnipeds, harbor seals, sea lions, like they have at Pier 39, right? And you can hear them at night. So what's the beef?
Well, for starters, you know, they really don't belong there. And we do have a lot of things going on that dock. It is a working dock. We have sailboats. But then also during the summertime, we have huge numbers of children sailors. And we have a big youth sailing program, so they're on there. So that's also a concern as far as safety goes for having these large animals as well as the children on there at the same time. But at the same time, if they're out there, I mean, you know, the Marine Mammal Protection Act as well as NOAA and Marine Mammal Center, they all say that we can take abatement measures. And, of course, we the opposite of what you didn't say, but of us not liking them.
Yeah.
I love megafauna, the sea lions and the harbor seals that we have there. I've been a big fan of them for a long time.
Thank you for not saying pinniped.
Let's keep it easy. California sea lions and harbor seals.
There we go.
And so we certainly don't dislike them in any way, of course, but we do need to coexist with them. And part of our abatement efforts, we've tried different things like physical blocking and things like that.
Like physical blocking, like railings or?
Yeah, things like that. But at the same time, we need to be able to use the stock and have boats coming in and out of there, you know, with all different levels of people, younger people, older people, everything with that. So it's a pretty big deal to make sure that we're able to use the dock. And if it gets populated by, we do have a dock right next door that everyone knows about. If it gets populated the same way that is, for example, then it becomes a non-usable dock, right? We certainly don't want to go out there and physically remove them, even though, you know, that's what's allowed and suggested, but we don't want to be doing that. So how do we just stop it?
Because that could almost be dangerous for you, too. I mean,
right.
Some of these sea lions are enormous.
Well, like the elephant seals down at Año Nuevo are like 1,000 pounds.
They're enormous.
Right?
And there is,
but you don't get those. I'm sorry, Libby.
No, I was just going to say, I think there are a few bull sea lions out on that sea lion dock that only the sea lions, that honest to God, if those kayaks get anywhere within 10 feet, it could be dangerous.
All right, let's see if we have a call for the Commodore here. Okay, this is Ruben and Libby and Sanjay, who is the he wants to be called Sanjay, but he is the Commodore of the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club. Who we have on the phone this morning?
This is Humongous, and
Humongous.
I have a question about who is going to be responsible for the pinniped poop. Which seems to be a theme of today's show. I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Is there do they poop, right?
They do, and that's also an additional problem on those docks because then it's very slick. It's more along the lines they're carnivores, so it's more along the lines of cat and dog stuff. So
okay.
Not organic.
So that's something else you have to deal with.
So that's a dangerous situation.
So are pinniped owners responsible for cleaning up after their pinnipeds?
I think the pinnipeds have to be responsible for their own cleaning.
Oh, dear. Well, that's a problem in our society. Okay, yeah. So Sanjay, so you've tried some measures like railings and stuff, but the thing that has caused the I'm air quoting here, firestorm of outcry.
On Nextdoor.
On Nextdoor. Thank you. Yeah, that's a critical part, right.
Let's make that clear.
Okay, because it's social media, and I just got done with my rant about how people are just adamantly in favor of horse poop on the trails. That you have tried a measure, and I'll let you describe these mats. Some kind of electrified mats that just kind of give a little discomfort to the pinniped when it lands there, so that it will just keep on moving. But of course, on Nextdoor, it got characterized as you're electrocuting the seals, and like people got all out. What? What are they doing to the
seals? Shocking for Nextdoor.
See, this is why Libby's on the show. I mean, seriously. Okay, so Sanjay, so why are you shocking the pinnipeds?
So. If I back up to kind of my history with the pinnipeds, I used to walk my dogs every day in Redwood Shores, and I did carry green bags with me and picked up immediately within 3 seconds. So,
okay,
well done.
All right,
well done.
And there was this little harbor seal that got stuck in the inner harbors there, and to the point where it became kind of our little pet. You know, we all considered it like, hey, there's our little harbor seal. And then one day I was walking my dogs, and all these people were there with these giant nets, and they were all branded the same way, wearing the same clothes. So they were obviously part of an organization. And all the neighbors and everybody there was kind of like, these blank blanks, you know, what are they here doing this? Just leave it alone. It's just having fun. And I was like, yeah, what's going on? Why are they doing this? Why are they capturing this thing? Why don't they leave it alone? It's just out here. It's enjoying itself in our little inner harbors. But it was stuck there. So and I kind of approached them. I was like, hey, why are you guys doing this? What's going on? Instead of yelling obscenities at them, which is what all the neighbors were doing. And I'm like, these are my neighbors. These are nice people. But no, they don't know. And they're just attacking these people. And they gave me a card. They're from the Marine Mammal Center. They're rescuing this thing, making sure it's okay, and going to release it so it can be in a more appropriate place. It was stuck in those inner harbors. So I was like, well, I'm going to do my own research on this, which doesn't include typing 5 words into a search bar and clicking the 2 links that seem most friendly to me, and then diving into my echo chamber of social media. I went and volunteered.
I know. Like you should be on this show. Yes. It's like you listen to the show or something.
Well done.
So I went and volunteered at the Marine Mammal Center, and I was like, well, I'm going to find out. I'm not just going to type 5 words into a search bar. And so I liked them so much, and I went there with a very skeptical eye. I went there kind of like, why are these guys doing this? You know, leave my harbor seal alone. And I went there, and I really liked what they were doing. So I volunteered there for many years. I was actually a docent at Pier 39, where the sea lions are, and we put out pelts and skulls, and kids could learn about them, and we'd educate the public about these things. And I volunteered there for a long time at the end of that program. And so I was involved with them for a long time doing that. So I'm definitely very pinniped friendly. And so,
Pro seal.
I think he said pinniped friendly. So I think what he said.
I think he did. Yeah. Darn it.
So you know, as far as the abatement that we're doing, though, so we need to keep them off of there, and we need to do it in the best way that we can. California sea lions are not endangered in any way. They're actually reaching a point where their population is too high and unsustainable, according to NOAA. We met with the NOAA officer after this incident that happened, that was posted on Nextdoor, and. That, I mean, we all know that. And so that's, you know, we're not like attacking them, harming them. We're not electric. It's not the electric chair. And some people ask me like, hey, what's the equivalent of? It's the equivalent of like putting a 9-volt battery on your tongue to test it. Which if you've ever done that, it's like, you wouldn't do it for fun unless you're an 8-year-old boy who's crazy.
Right.
But it's not like we're electrocuting them and harming them. It's just an abatement effort to keep them off. And actually, we're fully in compliance with every rule. We're fully in contact with NOAA and TMMC, the Marine Mammal Center. And not only that, we're going to have them come this Sunday and put on an educational seminar for our members to make sure that everyone understands what's happening. We do have signage up, and not just what was posted on Nextdoor with, hey, here's a sign. We have more permanent signs up. We want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. So you said you're having a demonstration this weekend?
We actually have the director of education for the Marine Mammal Center putting on a seminar for our members this Sunday. And it is just for our members, but we have nearly 1,000 members at our club.
Mm-hmm.
So it is to educate our members and help them understand the rules and things rather than just kind of jumping on a bandwagon.
Sure.
Like, why are you guys doing this? And not having an understanding of what's happening out there.
Well, that's one of the reasons we have you on the show today, because if you read a Nextdoor post and you kind of dissect it and really like read the words, it was clear to me that there's either a willful or an accidental misunderstanding here about somebody, you know, maybe for the best reasons was alarmed at the use of electricity. Okay, electricity, water, shocking, okay. But a closer read from, I think, Rear Commodore Allenson and others who were trying to respond to this, which, of course, goes nowhere on social media, but trying to explain that. And this is where it just was frustrating for me is Rear Commodore Allenson was trying to discuss where the idea for these electrified pads came from, and she was saying that it was like approved by NOAA, and somebody was countering her saying, no, it's not approved by NOAA, it's only recommended by them, it's not like some actual, like NOAA says, here, do this, but they have like a list of like, these would be, try these things, and these are one of the things you're so...
Right.
But people were getting caught up on like, well, no, they didn't approve it.
Okay, people go from 0 to 90 on Nextdoor so fast. And not just Nextdoor, social media so fast. And it's so helpful to hear your backstory.
Yes.
And your care and concern for marine life.
Yeah.
And coming into this. So, I mean, it sounds like all bases have been covered and looked at, and I love that you're having this member meeting to discuss what's going on.
Will you be recording that and then posting it on your website for other people to see? Because I think it would be very educational for the community.
We will be recording it, and yes, we will make it available for the community. You know, we have a lot of members, so we want to make sure to provide it for our members, but I've also reached out to some of the people, including the original poster on Nextdoor, to meet with them directly, and none of them have responded except for the original poster, who we haven't been able to connect yet, but I'm happy to meet with, I mean, obviously I don't want to be inundated with 1,000 people, but I'm happy to meet with you know, people that are very, very concerned about this. And, you know, some of the people are our direct neighbors right there. We've been there for 44 years at that, you know, as a yacht club, and, you know, I just want to make sure we're good neighbors, and we want to make sure our neighbors are good neighbors as well, and I want to meet with them face to face. And it doesn't need to be contentious, but
you're being proactive and transparent, and I mean that's key.
All right, and I think some important things to reiterate that you mentioned here is that this isn't just like, hey, we don't want seals on our dock, all right, because we don't want poop on our dock. I mean, yes, you don't want poop, but it's a safety issue. Like, yeah, you do have a lot of programs for kids, sailing programs for kids, summer camps, and these are wild animals that, you know, are, it's, you know, unpredictable in that sense, and you need a working dock. So a couple questions I have for you on the If you had the mats laid down and I walked across them, it would just feel like a prickly on my feet, or would I even feel it?
You wouldn't feel it. You'd have to have a little more contact. It's not even a mat. It's just a little wire, and it's just in a few places where it hits, and so it's literally like just a little
Does it leave a mark, like a scorch mark on the animal or anything?
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's literally, like, I've done it probably maybe 100 times now. It's just, and I'm by no means doing it for pleasure, but I want to make sure what we're doing. But also, you know, when we were doing it, we kind of stopped for a moment and said, hey, let's make sure we're fully in compliance, even though it's obvious that we are. But let's take measurements, let's make sure we're doing the right thing. And we did, and we are, and we're fully in compliance with
that.
It's
like a buzzing. I mean, you, I'm sure, did the battery to the tongue as an 8-year-old.
I don't have that much courage, no.
I did, and it is. It's like just like a little buzzing kind of feeling on your skin. It's not even a shock. It's not even a shock, really. It's just, it's an uncomfortable, like, buzzing, like, you wouldn't want to hang out in that area.
I think it's the electricity that had people freaked out of, like, they're imagining some, like, you know, humongous, you know, cable of electricity going under the water and coming up, and the whole dock just being like, but I don't see it any different than you see on buildings all the time. They've got these spikes so the pigeons won't land on it, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, those are spikes, right? If a pigeon landed on it
the right way, you could have a pigeon skewer,
right?
Nothing like that.
These are, and frankly, we do it for humans too, because on benches around town here and stuff, you see those metal plates that are bolted to the edges of benches and stuff, so kids can't skateboard and grind along the side of cement benches and stuff. So this is not a, you know, you know, wild, crazy thing that you're trying to do here. You're trying to be safe. So what are some what are some other measures that you went through with NOAA and or the Marine Mammal Rescue before you settled on the pads?
We didn't necessarily go through these things with NOAA. NOAA actually got involved because of the incident that happened a month or two ago, and they investigated. And so we met with the NOAA officer who did the investigation. He actually investigated, met with spoke with us, met with some of our members who were partially involved with this. But actually, the real concern is some members of the public went out there and decided to pick up that baby seal and bring it in, which is illegal. And so that was not any Yacht Club members and by any means, but they decided that was the appropriate thing to do based on the fact that we're doing something, so somehow putting it back on us. But that's why NOAA got involved in investigating, like, who did this, and that's who they really wanted to be speaking to. And so, you know, as far as for us, NOAA isn't going to make recommendations, and they're not going to approve anything directly, but they do make recommendations and they do have approved methods, and so that might be what our Commodore Karen Nelson was referring to. But and that is accurate and appropriate, and so NOAA, I think your original question was what other things did we try? And so, you know, we thought of, like, kind of putting up, like, ballast every few feet and things like that, and it just became to the point where it's like there's really nothing that's effective that we can do like that, because those were our first choices and we tried them, and we have tried them, and this isn't, you know, something new and unique that we're doing. I mean, there's a lot of abatement that happens all over because this is a real issue, but you know, that's not where they should be. They should be hanging out further from humans. They should, there's plenty of places for them to hang out, and you know, that it's not where our docks are.
Have you seen an increase in population over the last few years? You know, I know that. Did you put the kind of sealed dock out there? Is that yours or
no? So that belongs actually to one of our neighbors.
Oh, okay.
And that's his dock, and it's just he hasn't been using it as much, so it became very easy for the pinnipeds to get on there and hang out. And to speak to what you were talking about earlier, where they can be really big and the bulls.
Yeah.
And so some of the stuff that we would talk about, like at Pier 39, so the adults are typically males.
Mm-hmm.
And so most people don't realize that the males are here 11 months out of the year, and then they go down south and mate down south and then return. So the juveniles can be here. The harbor seals can be whatever, but as far as the California sea lions go, the ones with the sagittal crest, they're the kind of thing on their forehead, are males. And so they can be very aggressive both to each other and to other, you know, people or whatever else. So, yeah, that's kind of a big deal. So they started hanging out on that dock.
Okay. They are very vocal.
All right. Yes. And speaking of vocal, we've got another caller here. This is Ruben and Livy with Commodore Sanjay Israni of the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
My name is Seymour Butts, and I'm calling from San Francisco, and I'm wondering if the voltage on these pinniped pads is something that you could use in, like, Union Square or something. You could put it on the benches and you could zap the people when you wanted them to move along. I didn't know if this was healthy for human consumption.
That's a good question. If it doesn't give that much of a shock, I mean, like, can we move people along in lines and parking lots and queues to get into the stadium and other...
Exactly. If we're talking about trying to manage the wildlife population using external stimuli like this, I think it's something that we might, you know, think about using with people. Just picture the line for the bathroom at a Giants game. You know,
yes.
People in and out of there so much faster. You know, with pennies on the dollar. You know, it doesn't cost a lot.
How about at the DMV? Yeah, there we go. Okay. All right.
My goodness.
Okay.
Now you got me thinking.
Seymour,
I will
Seymour.
Be writing to my elected officials in San Francisco with these ideas.
Excellent.
Thank you for the impetus.
Seymour, I really liked your book, Under the Bleachers.
Yeah, right? He's famous. Okay. See, Sanjay's on
he
it.
Rolls
like,
with
I
it.
Know, right? Oh, my goodness. I think we found another co-host
trio
for the show. Yes.
So we were talking about, I just want to talk about that little dock out there, because I do know that kayakers, especially like tourists even, I mean, the locals are well familiar with the distance that you want to keep, but the tourists come in, kids come in, and when you get close, they don't realize how big these animals are. and how aggressive they can be.
But not only that, but how playful and curious they can be.
Right.
So they like to pop up next to a boat and be like, hey, what are you doing? And then jump right back down. So they're not just kind of like, hey, stay away from us.
Right.
They're kind of curious, playful sometimes also. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so here's a question for you. Given all of the usual red tape and regulation that it's, we're 3 years plus into still not having a shovel in the ground for a pump track.
You know, let's not get started on that.
In Quarry Park. What kind of bureaucratic regulations or permits needed to be pulled to put an electrified mat at even low voltage and, you know, non-injurious? It seems like everything requires a permit. Did you need to get permits for this? Are you dealing with an agency on this?
We don't need to have permits for that. And so we can just, it's private property, so we can have whatever abatement efforts are within guidelines as well as within, you know, the scope of what we feel is
that's
okay.
That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but a follow-up permitting question, separate from the pinniped issue. Okay, I really think that if people are still having an issue with this, that I'm sure that they could contact the yacht club and get somebody such as yourself to talk to them about it. Hopefully in a week or so, there'll be a video up of the presentation from this weekend where they can learn more about it. So let's switch topics just real quick because we've only got like about a minute left, and I'm sorry to leave this little amount of time, but what are the plans for the new fancy working dock? Because I remember a couple years ago there were some presentations at the MCC about a really kind of cool design. There was almost like an anchor design with multiple, you know, branches.
Well, that would be amazing.
No, it's not happening.
Hopefully in our future, maybe pretty far down the road, it will happen, but that's not imminent by any means.
All right. Yeah. Well, because it looked nice in the
Have a big circular dock with a swimming pool built into the middle of it and everything, but there isn't anything like that currently happening. But I do want to actually give a couple plugs for the club. So a couple of things that we do with the youth sailing, it is open to the public. It is open to outside people that are not members. And so for children starting at age 8, they can come in.
You
and
run
take
great camps.
Yeah, we've won a lot of awards for those things.
Wonderful.
One other plug I want to give for the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club Foundation, which we also do adaptive sailing for handicapped children. It's the only program that I know about like this. And we have wheelchair, that go in the sand and all this kind of stuff. And
wonderful.
Boats that, and so we do a lot of this stuff, which is amazing. And I just, the club has done some amazing things. And it's really, there's no Thurston Howells there. And it's really a club for
it is a wonderful spot. It's a
children.
Club for everyone.
Yeah. And it's a community of friends, really. That's what
it is.
Down to,
it is.
All right. Now we get to the serious part of the interview. Okay. So are you a big sailor yourself?
Actually, I grew up with motorboats, and my wife grew up with, who's also the co-commodore, Danielle, she grew up with a sailboat, a little sailboat that they had. So that's how we kind of got into this.
Nice.
Yeah. So to become the commodore, do you have to move up the ranks as in the Navy? Is there like a field test where you have to name all the masts and sails on a three-masted sailing vessel, or do you have to parallel park a Boston Whaler at the commercial dock at Miller Point Harbor?
You have to be willing to take on a lot of volunteer assignments and put in a lot of time, so that's been
But you've got a heart of gold.
The most important question: do you get one of those white caps with the black bill and the gold braids on the bill?
The captain's
hat.
Yeah.
You don't just get one, but you certainly can acquire one. And I know many of our past Commodores have had them, which look amazing when they dress up with those things. So
well, next time, Sanjay, when you come in,
we want to see the Commodore cap.
You might see some pirate stuff. But.
Okay, we'll take that.
Okay, well.
Thank you so much for coming in today. This is terrific.
Thanks a lot. It's been a great show. We've had a full studio audience. We had our live interview guest, Commodore Sanjay Israni of the Half Moon Bay Yacht Club, to really kind of let's go right to the source and get the real information on what's happening out there. And if you still have questions or you're still upset about it, I know that Commodore Israni and Rear Commodore Karen Allenson have been totally available by email. go down to the yacht club, ask them about it. I want to thank all of our callers. There's so many callers today. I forgot. I know Penny Packer was one. Diamond Joe Quimby. Love Diamond Joe.
Rick.
Seymour Butts, right? Great author of American literature. And the rest of our listeners, thank you. Livy, welcome back. And we will be back next week. And next week. Okay, next week we've got another live interview. Sorry. Colleen Henney of Jupiter in Maine, a great store, like literally right downstairs here that I always
can't wait to speak with her.
Always shop at Christmas time and for birthdays. We'll be chatting with us about the upcoming Half Moon Bay Wine and Jazz Fest in May. So you don't want to miss that. Wine and jazz can't and also talk. All right, this has been Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.